Welcome back to the Cruise Dynasty Podcast. Back at it again, doing what we do, and I'm with the Craft Man as always. Craft Man, what's going on, man?
Getting excited for these rookie drafts. You know, it's rookie season right now. NFL drafts coming up in about, you know, about a month or two at the end of April. So we've just been doing our research like we did last year, and hopefully, you know, we give everybody some good information on these rookies, because it seems like it's going to be a deep class, and I'm not usually that, you know, excited about rookies all the time, and I feel like they get a little overhyped this time of year. I feel like, you know, they might live up to the hype this time around.
Yeah, me and you have been diving in, talking back and forth about these rookies, and definitely deep class. When you start really looking at it, you start realizing how deep it is, and you start thinking about, hey, I wouldn't mind having some second rounders. But yeah, deep class. And me and you, really, we're going to get right to work. We're going to knock out a few profiles right here. But with that said, just add the podcast. And basically, what I want to say is, what do we say all the time? We had said in a few episodes, but we are not the experts. Not the expert, so I'm not even going to sit here and act like, oh, I know this and I know that. The truth is, Craft Man, I watch these players and I like a lot of these guys. So
they all look the best player on the field because they are at the time. But I'll tell you, you know, one thing that we have done is I've been watching football since I was probably, I think I started about like 13, 14, something like that. So almost 20 years of watching football. And I'm sure you've watched football about that long too. So all I can say is, when you come to us, we're not going to talk about yards per route run and against zone. We've seen players who are good with our eyeballs.
Right.
And we've seen players that aren't good with our eyeballs. And I feel like I have a decent feel of what these players can do on a field.
Right. So basically, we're just going, you know, we hit on some of these rookies, we miss on some. Hey, we missed big time, but I can think of some where we liked some of those guys and they panned out last year. But, you know, it's just fun to watch all these rookies and basically try to figure out where you want to slot them all, because I know there's some debate out there for a lot of these, for some of these positions still up there. And I know we still got the NFL draft, but a lot of talk out there. So,
and that's the main.
Yeah, go ahead, Craft.
That's the main thing, is the draft. You know, like, you can like a player, but if they go to a place that you don't like, it's all right to change your opinion and go ahead and move them down in your rankings. You don't have to keep them in the same spot. I mean, you can like somebody's talent and they go to the Panthers or the Bears or wherever, and it's all right to just go ahead and move them down if there's a player that you like better, that went to a better situation.
Right.
This is only half of the equation. This is just what we're talking about today, really, is just what we watch so far and who we like talent-wise. This has nothing to do with where we think they're going to land. Yeah. And we'll go accordingly, just like everybody else.
Yeah, basically, we've been just watching a lot of film, watching some highlights. I've been reading a lot of profiles, seeing what people are saying about these guys. And we're just going to get the information out there to just help you win the rookie draft. That's all we're doing. And I would say the more important thing that me and Craftman are really going to be doing is just kind of ranking these rookies and stuff. I think it's a little more important than just breaking down player by player, trait by trait, and all that stuff. Me and Craftman, we're going to check it out. But we're just trying to figure out where to slot these players and where to value them. And
yep.
And just try to win the rookie draft.
Yeah, and the way we're going to do it this year, we're going to do it a little different than last year. If you've stuck with us this long, we're going to pin these players against one another and see who we like better. It's going to be more like we're going to talk about, you know, all the players' attributes and everything like that, but we're also going to kind of put in the episodes like this guy versus this guy, who do you like better type situation, players that well, receivers right now that people been kind of comparing to one another.
So there's definitely a bunch of debates out there. And one debate that I'm seeing out there that I wasn't seeing a few months ago, but I see it now. And we're going to talk about it tonight, and we're going to settle it. And that's Marvin Harrison Jr. versus Malik Nabers, the clear top two of the class of the for the wide receivers. Marvin Harrison, I'm looking at rookie mock draft, super flex, and I've seen him go as high as 101. I've seen him go as low as 102, so he's not exactly dropping too far. And I think I might could see him. I think I have seen him go 103 because of the quarterback. I had might have had Drake May going to a nice spot. But then Malik Nabers, I've seen him as high as 103. I've seen him as low as 105. We're going to settle it right here. Top two in the class right here.
Could he not go 102, though? I mean, go ahead. Could Malik Nabers not go 102 in a super flex? Just if the top two teams are decent at quarterback, do you think that's even a question?
I just think, like, if you think the blue, let's see, what are the big-time talents of this draft? I think most would say cornerstone pieces are Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison, and I think Brock Bowers for tight end. Those are like your three cornerstone pieces. I don't know. I wouldn't pass up on Caleb Williams personally.
Well, that's all dependent, I guess. I mean, I ain't really watched all this tape yet. We hadn't gotten the quarterbacks. I'm sure he's, you know, everything that everybody's been talking about. But, you know, when it comes to the Bears, when was the last time they had a good quarterback? You got to ask that question.
Yeah. Man,
Why are they always the talk of the draft? It's because they suck and they're always at the top. Even though they didn't get the Panthers pick this year, it's not because they were that bad, but you know what I mean. They're always the talk of the draft. What are the Bears going to do? It's because they, you know, they suck.
They do suck. Man, I tell you what, we always talk about unbuttoned organizations. The Bears, right up there, as far as like my whole life goes. The only stability I've really ever seen them have is Jay Cutler being over there.
Brian Urlacher.
That's about it.
You gotta go back that far when the Bears were good.
So basically, first off, we got Marvin Harrison Jr. from Ohio State, 6'4", 205 pounds. The best. That's all I'm going to say, Craftman. We really didn't have to – when I talked to you on the phone, you talked to me on the phone, we didn't really even have to watch them too much. We've seen them on – I've seen them play big games. Obviously, everybody knows who Marvin Harrison Jr. is. I saw him tear up the Georgia Bulldogs out there just cooking them back with C.J. Stroud.
We always do. We always be hurting the best receivers when we need it. You got to take them out of the game before it gets out of hand. That's the way we roll.
Right. So, really, old Marv, all three levels, good. These are one of your cornerstone. This is what you're looking for right here. This is your Justin Jefferson. This is your Ja'Marr Chase. This is the guy right here. Let me just pull up his little stats real quick. In 2022, he had 77 receptions, 1,263 yards. 14 touchdowns. That's what that was with C.J. Stroud. The next year, it felt like Marvin Harrison really wasn't doing all that good, but Ohio State was just struggling. Their quarterback was struggling a little bit. Still, 67 receptions, 1,211 yards, 14 touchdowns. Pretty much the same thing as the year before.
It's a good yards per catch, too. So,
yeah.
He can about do everything. I mean, you just don't want to pass up on one of these special, like, generational talents is what they call them. And, you know, sometimes we like to push back on what everybody's saying, like, go against the grain a little bit. But not this time. I think you just got to stick with what everybody's saying and don't try to be hard-headed and go off in another direction saying, oh, I like this guy better in this draft. I don't think so. Unless, we're going to talk about it. We're going to pin him against Malik Nabers here.
Right.
Landing spot's going to be the only thing that you can compare these guys. Like if Marvin Harrison goes to the Patriots and these two guys are the only two we're really going to talk about, I think, unless, Matt, you want to dive into it more about landing spots. But at the top of the draft, it's a little more predictable than, like, where is Keon Coleman going to go? We have no idea. But right. It seems like with Marvin Harrison, it's like you got the Patriots, you got the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what I've seen so far. And Malik Nabers, you can kind of put with the Cardinals, you can put with the Chargers. And those seem like the two landing spots for me. So that's the only argument we could have is say, worst case, Marvin Harrison goes to the Patriots. Best case, Malik Nabers goes to the Cardinals or the Chargers.
Some of the comps I've been seeing from Marvin Harrison Jr. is like A.J. Green. I've seen something like that. Good body control. I'm with you. Basically, it'll come down to landing spot, but I'm just going to be honest. I think it's a little wild. I ain't going to say it's wild, but I would not have Malik Nabers in the same tier as Marvin Harrison. So, in my opinion, when it comes down to it, we can debate it a little bit. Well, heck, we're already talking about it now, but when it comes down to it, I think I would still take Marvin Harrison if he was with the Patriots and if Malik Nabers was with the Cardinals. I think I'd still want to roll with Marvin Harrison Jr. I just wouldn't want to pass up on that. Even though the Patriots, when we talk about it, we actually care about the situation more than a lot of people do. I feel like it would just be tough for me to pass up on Marvin Harrison Jr. That one's tough. You know what I'm saying, Craftman?
Yeah. I mean, if it came down to that, I love Malik Nabers. Like,
right.
He was by far and away. I was like, at the start of it, I just want to, like I said, go against the grain sometimes and went into it. I was like, is this guy really as good as everybody says he is? Blah, 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 this and that. Is Brian Thomas like the better receiver for LSU? I don't know. It was obvious, you know, that Malik Nabers was incredibly talented. And I mean, that's the only thing I think that for me, I would draft Malik Nabers over Marvin Harrison if the landing spot was that bad. Like if it was the Patriots versus the Chargers, then it becomes a big discussion because quarterback play means everything. It limits your upside if you're playing with a terrible quarterback. There's a lot of talented players that have played with bad quarterbacks. I mean, you just said A.J. Green, great fantasy contributor, but he wasn't number one.
Right.
Because Andy Dalton wasn't, you know, elite right. quarterback.
Let's just go ahead and throw out. We've been talking about Malik Nabers. Let's just throw him out there real quick. Nabers, 6 foot, 200 pounds, out of LSU. When I watch him, I just see a lot of. He's just a serious deep threat. Yards after catch, super super fast. Yeah, I've heard a baby crying. I can't hardly concentrate.
It's all right. I got.
But yeah, super fast. I mean, I was thinking about, I've pretty much been involved with three rookie classes, 21, 20, what are we, 20, so 22, 23, and 24, right?
Yeah.
And I would say Malik Nabers, I was saying this to you not too long ago, but, I think I would go Marvin Harrison, Garrett Wilson, then Malik Nabers. And that's just talent-wise. You know, Garrett Wilson's sitting there in that little shitty situation. Malik Nabers, if he goes to Arizona, it'll be way better. Then you're looking at probably the two best receivers I've seen in the past 3 years, possibly, for fantasy options. That's how good Malik Nabers is. I still don't think he's in the same tier as Marvin Harrison Jr., but I think he's really good, and I think he's, like, way better than, like, the next set of receivers we'll talk about later on.
Yeah, that's a tier. Yeah, I mean, if you want to put Marvin Harrison in a tier of his own and then Malik Nabers in a tier of his own, that's perfectly fine. That's where I got it right now, and I'm just hoping for a good landing spot for Marvin. But some of the things I got on Malik Nabers, 89 receptions for 1589 and 14 touchdowns last year. His best game was against Mississippi State, went 13 for 239 and 2, and had 10 receptions for 171 and 1 against Bama. So, And he's also mocked in like the top, you know, at least the top 10, if not right. the top 6 most of the time. Some of the other stuff I got on him, just blazing speed. He's 6'2", and he's probably going to run like a 4.3.
Yeah.
And his acceleration is off the charts too. I mean, he comes off the ball quick, and defenders in college just play off coverage on him. They don't press him. I feel like he can be moved all over the formation. He can play in the slot. He can play outside. I mean, I was talking to you on the phone. There's a couple mock drafts that have Roma Dunze going ahead of Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
And I was just telling you, like, not saying this dude is Justin Jefferson, but teams are looking for the next Justin Jefferson. And mm-hmm. this guy has all the traits, the physical traits, that teams would be looking for to find that kind of guy.
Yeah.
And he's not just a great pony, neither. He runs the whole route tree.
Yeah, I've been seeing him. I've seen him mock to, I think, I've seen Arizona, like we've been talking about. I've seen the Chargers. We had him mock to the Chargers. That'd be nice. I think where the way it's working out is it looks like he has the potential to have a better landing spot. It, like, everywhere you see him getting mocked to, it's always these good landing spots. So it feels like he's about to get a good spot. He's talented. Feels like Malik Nabers is going to be ready to roll this year. So that's really the reason why I think, from a talent-wise, me and you ain't debating Marvin Harrison versus Malik. We just would debate maybe where we would take him in a rookie draft, depending on where these jokers go in the draft, because it really is night and day. Like, I put it like this. We care about the situation, but I don't want to take in too much account. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to sway my opinions too much. But the Patriots, that's a big drop-off between playing with the Patriots and playing with the Chargers and the Cardinals. Way different.
Yeah. And especially the Chargers, they don't have any speed on that team. I mean, QJ was supposed to be it. And you know, looking at this receiving class and watching QJ last year, like, it's just night and day when you watch some of these guys compared to, like, QJ went in the 107 last year.
Right.
Some of the guys we're going to talk about in the next couple episodes, like Roma Dunze, stuff like that, who was in that, like, top 3. These are totally different guys. They're better.
Right. Nah, QJ wouldn't even be in the top
10.
He'd be like 2.5. He'd be like at a 205 and below, if that.
Yeah.
And there was times where he was like at the 102 and crazy stuff at one time way back in the day, like when college football was still going on. Like, Quentin Johnston had a lot of hype at one time, and it just slowly fell, and now it's just all the way down to the bottom.
But he had a lot of red flags when we talked about him last year, we weren't super high on QJ, and
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll just go ahead and plant my flag on Malik Nabers. I'm completely comfortable with ranking him, you know, very high after the NFL draft before he even takes a snap. And we definitely don't do that. But in this case, this is the one guy, him and Marvin Harrison, if Harrison goes to a good spot, that he's definitely going to be in the top 15 of my rankings, if not the top 10.
You talk about a dynasty ranking, or?
Yeah, dynasty rankings. I mean,
yeah.
Chris Olave or Malik Nabers. I think I'll just take Malik Nabers.
Yeah, it's crazy because I traded Chris Olave and that pick ended up being the 103, 104. So it's pretty much like I traded Chris Olave for Malik Nabers. So it's funny how it works out sometimes. But all right, so Craftman, I'm just settling the score with where I stand. I think I'll take Marvin Harrison over Malik Nabers, no matter what, even if the situation was bad. That's where I stand today, but give me a couple weeks and I might be a little bit closer like you are.
Yeah, and where I stand pretty much is if Harrison goes to the Patriots and Nabers goes to the Cardinals or the Chargers, I'm going to take Nabers above Harrison. But if Harrison goes to like the Cardinals or the Chargers, I'm good with Harrison. 100%.
Yeah. All right. Well, shoot, man. That pretty much settles it. We've pretty much broke it down for you today. We got Marvin Harrison Jr. for you out of Ohio State. Malik Nabers. Not too much to say about these guys except we go Marvin Harrison 1, Malik Nabers 2. Kraftman will just, he'll debate it depending on the landing spot. But with that said, thanks for listening to the podcast. 5-star review. Tell a friend, tell a friend. Tell a hoe. Tell everybody. Spread it around. Kraftman, you got anything to say to the people out there?
No, man. I think we're good. We'll move on to the next one. Talk about some more receivers.
Yep, that sounds good. So with that said, we out.
Peace.